Maya war die Philosophin. But we don't want to become one with God. We want to become better than God, just like Marie Soda. And then he pointed at painting. Because she's thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, he will die. So this this mood of hers makes Krishna have the same mood towards her. Thinking, if Mother Yasoda doesn't feed me, then I'm in big trouble. So he's feeling himself, even though he's the Supreme Lord, he's genuinely feeling himself dependent upon Mother Yasoda. And many years later, just a couple of years ago, Gurudev told us that actually Mother Yasoda is not golden, as you see here, but she's sham colored, bluish colored, like Krishna. Although fair, she's actually bluish, like Krishna. And that's why Krishna's bluish. It came from his mother, the answer of beauty. And this is a painting that we did for Srila Prabhupada's third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a painting, or the history, of Devahuti, who's the wife of Kardama Muni, the great sage, who is the son of Lord Brahma, the first created being. And Lord Brahma gave an order to his son, as he did to all of his sons, to procreate the entire universe. So Kardama Muni performed great austerity for many years. And then when Lord Vishnu appeared to him and said, what benediction can I give you? Kardama Muni said, I want a wife of equal disposition to me, so that he could follow his father's order. So Lord Vishnu said, because you've come to me with your desire, and no one else, I will give you more than your expectation. I will not only give you a wife who has equal disposition to yourself, but she will be the daughter of the great emperor, the emperor of the whole universe, Swayambhu Manu. And not only that, but I will come as her son. So her son was Lord Kapiladeva, the incarnation of Krishna. So Devahuti had been serving her husband, who was doing great austerities even in her married life. And so she never took care of her body. So her clothes were old and worn and torn. She only washed her hair about once a year, because she was so busy performing austerities in the service of her husband. So now it was time to get children. So her husband wanted to help her to get beautified so that they could have children. So he sent her into a divine lake right by his hermitage. And as I mentioned earlier, I received 90 letters from Srila Prabhupada describing many things, many instructions, but I would say about at least 70 or 80 of them were describing how I should do various paintings. So for this one, I wrote to him and asked, how was she able to get decorated by her 1,000 maidservants underneath this lake? Was she in an airtight house so that she could breathe, or what? So Prabhupada wrote back that just as one can learn the art of living in a house made of air, one can learn the yogic art of living in a house made of water. For she was actually straight under the water. She had mystic powers, just like her husband. So in this history, there's many things to learn, only one of which is that if we go to Krishna, Krishna for our desire, or to our Gurudev for our fulfillment of our desire, then we get more than our expectation. But if we have...
CD player won't work.
Huh?
CD player's not working.
But if we have no desire other than to please Sri Gurudev, then he gives us the greatest benediction. He gives us friendship with Krishna personally and Radharani personally and gives us their service. But the interesting thing is, which Prabhupada told us in the beginning of the movement, when your $100 problem is solved, then automatically your $10 problems are solved. So our $100 problem is Krishna consciousness. And if that is our desire, and we pray to Gurudev and Krishna and our acharyas, especially through the songs and the songbook, and then we attain that divine Krishna consciousness, then automatically all of our material desires are fulfilled without any separate endeavor. And this is for the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of Nanda Maharaj having taken bath in the Jamuna too early in the morning. So the servants of the god of water, Varuna, considered that an offense. So he kidnapped Nanda Baba and took him way under the river to the abode of Varunadev. So why did Varuna do this? He's a very powerful demigod. He's in charge of all the waters, all the oceans, and all the planets. It's because Varuna wanted Nanda Baba to pray to Krishna to save him, so that Krishna and Balaram would personally come and grace him with their darshan. So although Nanda Baba is singing in this picture, in this theme, that Varuna is offering all worshipable obeisances to Krishna as the Supreme Lord, Nanda Baba doesn't believe that Krishna is God. He just thinks, oh, how interesting it is that this demigod is worshipping my son. That's the very wonderful thing about the residents of Vrindavan. No matter what Krishna does, whether he dances with billions of gopis, or whether he holds Govardhan Hill, they never think that he's God. And therefore, they have the most intimate relationship with him than the residents of any other spiritual abode. So both Prabhupada and Gurudev and their whole disciple succession is teaching that we should be one-pointed to Radha and Krishna so that we can reach the supreme abode and then all other benedictions are there. And this is done for the 11th canto. This is a picture of Markandeya Rishi, who is a great sage who was given the benediction that he could live for 7 kalpas, 7 days of Brahma. So even when the universe was all inundated, top to bottom, with water, he didn't die. So here he is, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the Lord with his japa beads and with his heart. So the Sadhu is going to point out, Indra sent lust and greed. There's lust and greed to try to break him from his meditation. And he also sent Cupid. She's going to point that out with the pointer. He also sent Cupid along with his arrow, his flower arrows, to shoot him so that he would be captivated by the many damsels, music dancers and singers and musicians from the heavens in order to break his meditation. But he was so absorbed in chanting that Krishna gave him all protection. So there are many things to learn here. One very important lesson being that if I absorb myself in Krishna and Guru, then nothing can ever hurt me. And I just got some inspiration in my heart at this moment to invite you all to come to Kartik this winter for us, summer for you. From October 4th to November 4th or 5th is the 1 month long Parikrama party. That is, there's two lectures of Gurudev every single day in Vrindavan. The first 2 weeks by the Jamuna, and the second 2 weeks at Giriraj Govardhan, by Govardhan Hill. So he gives two classes a week, and then he takes the devotees out for Parikrama in all the holy places that Krishna performed in Vrindavan. Then you get to breathe the air, the same air, the same dust, the same water that Krishna bathed in, and it's an unforgettable experience. So if anyone would like to go, you can see Achyuta Prabhu, and he can tell you more details. This is done for Srila Narayan Maharaj's, Srila Gurudev's sequel to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada translated the commentaries of Baladev Vijayabhusan and just a teeny bit of Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Srila Gurudev translated the rest of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentaries in his Bhagavad Gita. And this is Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur himself. And Srila Gurudev gave all the details, just like Prabhupada used to give the details of what things look like. So Srila Gurudev is also giving the details. Like the pen there is just made of the end of a peacock feather. He should have a water pot and the palm leaf pages. And he's writing in Sanskrit. And he's weeping, thinking about Krishna and Arjuna and all the other pastimes of Krishna and all the other transcendental literatures that he commented on. And as you can see in the back, behind those two deers, there's a kunja, and there's flowers all around the kunja. So Gurudev told me when I was doing the painting that because the kunjas are also fully conscious personalities and fully enraptured by Radha and Krishna's pastimes, they decorated themselves. Sometimes Vrinda Devi saw the beautiful worship of Tulsi Devi, Vrinda Devi. So Vrinda Devi is in charge of so many forest damsels, and sometimes she also engages Radharani's maidservant in decorating the kunjas for Radha's and Krishna's pastime. But sometimes the kunjas decorate themselves. And this, of course, is the famous Seva Kunj painting. This is my very first painting that I ever did for Srila Gurudev. And this was back in 1993. I met him in 1992. And then he engaged me in this in 1993. So all the descriptions are from the scriptures of the Goswamis and Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Srila Gurudev himself. That is, Gurudev posed for Krishna and for Radha. And Gurudev told me that Krishna is saying here, with holding up his hand, that, "Oh Radha, please be merciful and put your lotus feet on my head. What more can I offer you? I've even put my flute, which is my prized possession, at your lotus feet. So I'm surrendering to you. Please be merciful and put your lotus feet on my head." And as you can see in the background, there are little faces there. And those are the young maidservants of Srimati Radhika. They have no interest in having a direct relationship with Krishna. Their highest satisfaction is to engage Radha and Krishna in meeting and engaging in their sportive pastimes together. And all the signs of Radharani come onto these maidservants. And all the feelings that she has in her heart also come from their heart. So Srila Gurudev explained, and Srila Prabhupada as well, that the special gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to give this special service of Srimati Radhika. And we have one book here. We have a few books for distribution at the end of the program. But one of the books, you only have one copy?
Three
copies left, that's all, in all of South Africa.
I think.
Huh?
Which book?
Gauravani?
Yeah, there's a few.
Gauravani Pracharani, which are a series of lectures that Srila Gurudev gave about Srila Prabhupada with a very, very deep message about Srila Prabhupada that nobody knows until he told it. And also the very special secret message that Prabhupada came to give that practically nobody knows. So you'll find this in Gauravani Pracharani, which is a very deep explanation of his Pranam Mantra in the form of about 10 lectures. So you can get that, first come, first serve, at the end of the program. And also at the end of the program, we have some posters of the various paintings that we did under Srila Gurudev's guidance. And Gurudev said about these paintings that he wants them in the heart of all living entities. Even if people are atheists, not religious at all, even if they're meat eaters or drug addicts or alcoholics or murderers even, he wants everybody, what to speak of the good people, he wants everybody to have them. And they make the best gifts for marriages, engagements, births, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, housewarmings, and so on.
Doctors.
Or just if you like somebody.
Doctors.
Huh? Oh yeah, also, one of the ways that Dasanti and I use the posters around the world is that when we go to doctors and dentists, we show them the posters and we give them a little booklet of Gurudev's, and then they give us discounts or free treatment. We're so overwhelmed with these windows from the spiritual world. So Vasanti will be showing you that at the end of the program.
Can you explain the crime?
I'm sorry?
Can you explain the crime on that
tears.
The tears.
Oh, the crime. So Gurudev explained that this crying is one of the symptoms of an ecstasy that's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita during the Rath Yatra festival discussions. And this is called Kila Kinchi Devav, which is many contradictory moods all coming at the same time. For example, Radharani is weeping and rejecting Krishna, and at the same time flirting with him and smiling. And although she's quite covered and covering her face with her veil, she's looking at Krishna with her sidelong glance through the translucent veil. So the tears are a combination of sadness, which is another type of ecstasy, and happiness, which is another type of ecstasy. In this material world, the sadness and happiness are both different varieties of sadness. There's no positive happiness here, only a temporary relief of distress. Like, it was really cold out there, wasn't it? And then we came into this beautiful hall and beautiful temple with the beautiful beings. And as soon as we walked in the door, we thought, oh wow, this feels good. But really, it's just a temporary counteraction of the distress. Positive happiness is only in the spiritual world. So Krishna also, his crying is also Kila Kinchi Devav. Simultaneous sadness of feeling ecstatic separation from Radharani and begging her forgiveness because he was late. And at the same time, transcendental ecstasy from seeing her. So that's the brief explanation of the tears. Okay. And these next four, I think there are four coming up, are the various maidservants of Srimati Radhika, who are generally, when in the original place where the original painting is installed at Rup Sanatan Gaudiya Math, which is only about 10 minutes from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. So in Gurudev's temple, Rup Sanatan Gaudiya Math, the painting is about 4.5 or 5 feet long, and these maidservants are all about 3 feet high, just like a nice slide. But they're so amazing in person. And there's two on one side, two on the other side. Unfortunately, we don't have any Manjaris here because we distributed the last one in Cape Town. But Achyuta Prabhu and the other leaders of the different centers like Cape Town, Johannesburg, and here will be ordering hundreds of these posters, and then you'll be able to get the Manjaris as well. And that's the goal of life that was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was not given by any other incarnation or acharya before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. I'll sing the verse that's mentioned several times in Prabhupada's translation. Anarpita chinin chalam karunaya vatirnam kalo samarpayitam unato jodasam svabhakti sriyam Hari Purita Sundara Kyuti Kadamba Sandipita Sada Hridaya Kandare Spurituha Sachinandana. That is, this is in the first and fourth chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, that may that Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna himself, covered by the complexion and mood of Srimati Radhika, who appeared in Kali Yuga to give the highest benediction that the jiva can attain, the service to Srimati Radhika as her maidservant. And this benediction has not been given since the previous day of Brahma, some trillions of years before, which was the last time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. So all of the acharyas in our line of disciplic succession, especially from Srila Rupa Goswami, all came to give this benediction. So now we're going to show you some bas reliefs. I hope that you can all come to Kartik and you can see these all in person. Me and a bunch of other artists were on rafters. Looks like we're sitting on the floor. But actually we're sitting on rafters that are about 15 feet high and very tottering, made by a couple of Indian carpenters. So we're up there painting the Das Avatars and other pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates at Govardhan. This is another bas relief. This shows Gan Nivartan Kunj. That is, at Dan Gati, Krishna tried to tax the gopis and take their butter and yogurt, claiming that he was the tax collector of Govardhan. And that got the gopis to want to take revenge. So a few days later, when they were all at thousands of gopis, under Radharani's direction, gathered at Dani Vartan Kund. And Krishna came only with a couple of coward boys. So, as soon as the Krishna and the coward boys came, the gopis grabbed the coward boys and tied their sikas to a tree And they took Krishna and forcibly dressed him up as a gopi. As you can see, they're all controlling him there. And then they put a pot of yogurt on his head. And then one of the gopis threw a rock and crowned him. As you can see, there's a crown shape with a bunch of yogurt falling all over his head and body. And Krishna was in anxiety because he'd been defeated. But Krishna's greatest pleasure is to be defeated by his devotees. And all the gopis are laughing and clapping. So it was Gurudev himself who chose the pictures, the pastimes, to be done for his Govardhan temple. So first, he had us do line drawings, which we gave to some Bengali sculptors who made the plaster and stone relief. Stone, not plaster. And then Gurudev told us to paint on that stone. So this is the line drawing. And before that was the bas relief. They're about at least 5 feet high and 7 or 8 feet long. So we hope you'll all come and see them in person. Is it Chitapuru coming in Janmashtami time?
He's trying.
Trying, and if anybody'd like to try with him, you're welcome to go with him. So now these are some more of the paintings that I did for Srila Gurudev. And this is Srimati Radhika, feeling separation from Krishna. And she's thinking, what is the use of my beautiful youth? What is the use of my beautiful dress and ornaments if Krishna is not here to enjoy them? So Radharani is the greatest guru. She's even the guru of Krishna. And she's teaching us by her own example how we should think that everything we have is meant for Guru and Krishna and to be used in their service. Can we go a little back? A little smaller? No, I mean, a little back? Or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a painting of Venugopi. As I mentioned earlier, unfortunately some of these posters were already distributed in Cape Town. So we're arranging that you can get some in January, or you can order them online. The center can give you the information. And Gurudev explained, well, Prabhupada said these paintings are like windows to the spiritual world, and everyone will be attracted. He also quoted one verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is back in 1967. Rupa Goswami is taking the part of one gopi speaking to her gopi friend, saying that if you have any attachment for society, friendship and love, then don't go to the Jamuna, where Krishna is there simply playing on his flute under the moonlight. Why shouldn't I go? Because then you'll forget about all your society, friendship and love. So here is Krishna and playing his flute, which I did for the book, Gurudev's book, Venu Geet. And all the different varieties of books are coming. Thousands and thousands of them are coming in January. So I hope that you can all come to see Gurudev in Durban, in Pietermaritzburg, did I say it right? And in Johannesburg in January. This will be the greatest opportunity in your entire life and for many, many lives to get the personal darshan of Srila Gurudev and have him glance at you. And when he glances at people, what happens is he has his whole body is made of prema. So all the prema atoms come out from the pores of his body, just like Mahavishnu has all these universes coming out of his body. So Gurudev and Prabhupada and all pure devotees have the prema atoms coming out of his body. So those go on us when we're in his presence.
Thanks.
So Gurudev, all the details of this painting come from Gurudev himself. Just as in 1977, just before Prabhupada left the vision of the world, and I say vision of the world because he's actually still here, but outside of our vision, Prabhupada sent a car with some of the GBC men to pick up Srila Gurudev from Mathura and to bring him to Prabhupada's bedside at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Bhakti Chiru Maharaj was there, and Samala Krishna Maharaj was there, and so many other ISKCON GBC members. So when Gurudev arrived in Prabhupada's quarters, Prabhupada requested Gurudev to sit on his bed with him. He was lying down in the bed, and he requested Gurudev to sit there. So Gurudev said, "No, how can I do that? You're my Shiksha Guru, and I worship you the same as I do my Diksha Guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Goswami Maharaj." So then Prabhupada ordered a chair to be put next to his bed, and then Prabhupada took Gurudev's hands and put them in his own hands and began to weep in loving ecstasy. And he said, "I've brought so many monkeys. I heard the tape, the Bengali tape of this conversation. And I don't know much of Bengali, but I do know the word Banara, because it's also in Hindi, and means monkey." So Prabhupada was saying, "I've brought so many monkeys, just like me. Because monkeys like to quarrel. And I always like to quarrel and have my painting on the front cover of any book, not any of the other artists. So I was always in some stupid competition." So then Prabhupada told them, I've trained them as much as they can be trained according to their qualification. So now I want you to continue their training, my disciples and my followers." So Gurudev told him that just as Ramchandra, when he received the order from his father, Dasarath Maharaj, he said, "Yes, I will carry out your order to my last breath." And Gurudev said, "Similarly, I will carry out your order until my last breath." So all the details, so Gurudev continued helping Srila Prabhupada's disciples and followers in many things, including the art. So all the details of this painting were guided by Srila Gurudev. For example, Gurudev himself posed for those cows in the background. He picked up his hands over his ears to show how the cow's ear should be. And he quoted the verse from Vaina Geet, which said that when the cows heard the enchanting flute playing of Krishna, their ears became like cups with which they drank the nectar of his flute song. And from their ears, they took Krishna himself into their hearts and embraced them there. And there are many other, everything from this painting is a verse from the Vaina Geet.
We should end.
What?
I think we should
end.
Just show a couple more.
Huh?
Just
what'd you say?
Quickly go through them.
So very quickly, because the night is flowing on. Krishna always likes to understand the love of Srimati Radhika to the extent that he takes all kinds of disguises. Like here he's disguised as a woman goddess. In the previous picture he's disguised as a girl singer from Mathura, just to taste her love. And?
I don't know what that's doing there.
Narada Muni.
Random.
Who is the eternal spaceman. Actually, it's very interesting because Prabhupada gave me a picture from an Indian scripture that he had back in 1967, and he took out the picture from the book and he asked me to copy it. So I did that, but then a couple of years later I thought, well, I want to have thousands of people come and look at this picture. So I changed Narayana somewhat, and I put on the kind of robes that Jesus Christ wears in the Renaissance painting, and I put Narada in a redwood forest instead of a Vrindavan forest, and I made him very muscular, just like you see the paintings of Jesus Christ. And I sent that painting to Prabhupada's second temple, this temple in San Francisco. And when the devotees saw it, they wrote me that, oh, they're ecstasy and priest while they were doing kirtan. But then Prabhupada went to San Francisco and he saw it, and he wrote me a very sad letter. He said, the original picture that you did was much better because Narada looked like a milk drinker there, but now you made him look like a meat eater with muscles and gaunt cheeks. He said, I'm not interested in pleasing the senses of the public because they're rascals. I'm interested in pleasing Krishna's senses by making the pictures just according to scriptural descriptions, and then it will have power to make people Krishna conscious. So that's the end?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have some lights. And I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Any questions or comments? Oh, Prabhupada's mercy and Gurudev's mercy.
Did Prabhupada always give you direction as to how the features of Krishna and Radha are? Or?
So you're asking if Prabhupada always gave direction? Gave direction, lots of direction for lots of paintings. But then sometimes, when it was going so fast, and we just, like sometimes we would show him the sketch and he would guide us. Sometimes we would show him a half-finished, we would send him a half-finished painting. And when I was with him in person in the different temples, then we would just show him the paintings and he would give guidance. But sometimes when everything was going too fast, like he wanted too many books out too fast, and then sometimes we would publish a painting without showing him first. Like we did one painting of the Rasa Leela from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and because Prabhupada said that in the Nectar of Devotion, he wrote that Krishna's hair looks like he's being embraced by the goddess of fortune because it's so long. And in his description of the Rasa Leela, it was that the gopis' dresses were being loosened during the dance due to their ecstasy. But when Prabhupada saw that painting that I did, he said, this painting looks like a hippie plaything and it should be ripped out of all of my books. So most of the time we got direction. And sometimes when we didn't, he chastised us. I have several chastising letters. Like the one about Narada Muni that I just told you. Any other questions or comments?
Sorry.
Yes.
You said you did a painting for the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Uh-huh.
Prabhupada translated up to the 10th chapter.
I was waiting for somebody to ask that.
I just want to know this, you know, all the controversy with the the translation by Hidayanand, and I just thought if you could give us a little, since you've been there, and I know that Yumna Das was involved, the censored scholar and what have you.
Yeah, I don't know much of it, because I wasn't in on all the workings of it.
Okay.
But I did the paintings in the paintings for the 11th and 12th canto when I was living in the ISKCON temple in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard that the human started it, but then it was taken away from him. And, but it was all like very foggy. I didn't know any of the details at that time.
Okay. Now, just what the idea in mind I have is how bona fide would it have been, you know? Like with, you know, like we accept Prabhupada's translation 100% bona fide.
That's right, yeah.
So from 10th canto onwards, I was wondering, you know.
Well, yeah, I personally, it's better than nothing. And sometimes when Srila Gurudev says if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Srila Gurudev was giving lectures on the 11th campus of my Bhagavatam in Badger, California. And he was calling on us, me and some sannyasis, to speak about the subject that he was talking about. Like he'd say something like, for example, there's the 24 gurus. And Gurudev would be talking about them, and then he'd call on one of us to talk. So we had the books with us few who we knew we were going to be called on, so that we had something to say. And also also Krishna's teachings to Uddhav, and Uddhav Sandesh, not Uddhav Sandesh, Uddhav Sambhad, the conversation between Krishna and Uddhav. So we knew we were going to be called on, so we had to be prepared. So it's better than nothing, because
yeah, sure.
Otherwise we'd stand up there and be a total blank.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Personally, I stick with Prabhupada's books and Gurudev's books, but from time to time, it's a lot better than nothing.
Sorry?
The
driver of the black hole?
Yeah.
Somebody's car is black.
Any other questions or comments or time?
After 9.
It's already a little bit after 9. So just one or two other questions if you have any. And then we'll have another kirtan, which I hope you'll lead. And then prasadam. So any final question? Okay, so I'd like to say that after the kirtan, Dasanti will have the posters to show you. And all the proceeds of the posters go to build Srila Gurudev's temple in Navadvip. The temple is already three-quarters built, and every year he feeds 17,000 people a day for the duration of the Gaur Purnima festival. Very beautiful gorgeous temple.